Honorable Mufti Saab, your knowledge is immense and you are of great service to the Ummah. Has Mufti Saab ever considered taking a second wife?
I'll have to make istikhara. I told you just now, I used to make so much dua, and still now I make dua. I'm so happy with my Fatima. Allah Ta'ala give her siha, afiyah, all that. When you second wife, all that you think about when there's rows and ruction.
The bliss of marriage.
Can parents force their children to marry a specific person? I'm 25 years old, Brother Zakaria from Australia. Ustaz.
Wonderful question, Brother Zakaria from Australia. Barakallahu feekum. Look at the beauty of Islam. Once your children are mature, your son, your daughter, the 15, 18, 20, 25, does the father or the mother, for that instance, that then they impose upon the child, that son or daughter, you must marry this one? No, you can't do that Islamically. And when that son and daughter say no, then there's no son upon
every
them.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. 8 minutes after 11 Central African Time. My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia on this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning on the bliss of marriage with my beloved Ustad Fadilatu Shaykh Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah. I want to welcome my engineer brother Tobela. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and company. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'a. 084-786-3132, that is our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132, to the international overseas countries, +27847863132. Being today the 14th of Shawwal 1440, which is also the 18th of June 2019. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ustad, jazakumullah khairan for giving us your precious time. Ustad, let's go to the few questions this morning. Somebody asked, my husband screams at me in front of the kids, Mufti Saab. The kids don't respect me and treat me like crap. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to you, what your husband is doing definitely is unacceptable and not permissible. Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses every husband that when you speak to your wife, you interact with your wife. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19, Almighty Allah states, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Marriage is for keeps, so stay with your wife, live with your wife, and treat her with love, equity, and justice. And then if there's something going wrong, you cannot be then screaming, shouting at her, and more so in front of the children, and that will undermine her importance, her role as a mother. They will feel that they can also take advantage of the mother, and that's exactly what's happening. So my brother, you need to apologize to your wife, and you need to discipline your children, and you need to understand that what is it to be a husband, what it is to be a father. Take the noble example of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is reported on the authority of Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, wherein she states, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khayrukum khayrukum li ahalikum. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and children. Wa ana khayrukum li ahali. I am the best to my wives and my children. Today, this is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Today, the problem is, people are sanctimonious. We have a double identity. In front of people, we want to show we are honest, we are pious, we are good. But remember, in our private life, then it is something else. We are not dishonest, or we are disloyal, or we are treating our wives or our children. Remember, very, very badly. And that is what Islam does not want. Therefore, Islam Islam says taqwa. Taqwa means in a khalwa and jalwa, that in private and public we must behave the same manner. So therefore what your husband is doing, definitely not permissible. Read ya wadudu abundantly. InshaAllah, Allah will soften his heart and then your marriage will be enhanced, inshaAllah.
Ustad, let us go to Benoni. Somebody is asking here from Benoni, Ustad, Actonville. Muftisab, is there any kitab of our beloved noble master, Nabiya Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or how to be going to be romantic for your wives, Ustad? Is there any kitab on that?
Remember, open Mishkat Sharif, and there you will find a whole chapter, Babul Ishrat Ifin Nisa, that how to live with your wives and so forth. So all this are already explained by Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the husband should treat the wife, how the wife should treat the husband. Islam is a complete and comprehensive religion. For all occasion, it gives us guidance, it gives us directives, and we should practice on that, then we will see the mercy of Almighty Allah descending. The house will become a home, and the home will become Dar es Salaam, a home of safety, peace, and tranquility. So open Mishkat Sharif, is translated in English as well, and the chapter on Kitabun Nikah, and in there you will find a sub-chapter called Al-Ishram An-Nisa, how to live with your spouses and your wives.
Subhanallah. Somebody is asking you, Ustad, I'm reading the message. He says, Muftisab, myself and my argue, there's not a single day that goes by. We're always arguing and we're always fighting and we're always squealing and screaming at each other. What is the best dua to make for your spouse, Honorable Ustad?
Both of you are dominant people. Both of you want your way. And therefore, every day, husband, wife fighting, or parents, children fighting, because both of you want to adopt the slogan of Shaitan. Ana khayrun min, I'm better than him, I'm superior to him. If one of you just keep silent, all the problems will be solved. But that needs tawadu, that needs humility, that needs taqwa through piety. So remember that this recipe of your people's, both of you going for one another, is a disaster and a recipe for a breakup in marriage, Allah forbid. So my advice to you, wife, rather you keep quiet. For your husband, rather you squeal less and argue less. Turn more and more to Almighty Allah, both of you. Read Surah 25, Surah Furqan, verse 74. In the beginning of the 19th Jews day, where the first quarter ends, you will find the verse, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Almighty Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. So in that way, they Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala will enhance your marriage and the love for one another.
Ustad Azadwal is asking that, is there any way in the Quran or Hadith where it states that a woman's voice is parda? My husband does not just want me to answer the house phone. He says because I've got a melodious voice. Ustad, please.
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala in Surah 33, that is Surah Ahzab, verse 32, speaks about this. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَى الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah Jalla Wala is addressing Azwaj Mutahharat, the honorable spouses, wives of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they must not speak in a melodious and in a manner where people get certain ideas. But when you speak, speak in a firm tone. Remember Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, we met him. He wrote a book called Ahkamul Quran in Arabic. And under this very verse, remember he has mentioned, Sautul Mar'a Laysa Bi Awra, that the woman's voice is not part of the awra. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to teach the Sahaba, and she used to teach the Tabi'een and so forth. However, for a lady to come on air and give news and all these type of things, definitely not permissible. But for you to answer the phone, somebody phones, and that is permissible. There's no problem with that. So remember, sometimes our people make ghulu. Ghulu means that they go to another extreme. So that is what your husband is doing now. So you know, in English, they say they want to be more Catholic than the Pope. So I don't know if you understood that. Being more Catholic than the Pope means that you want, they want, you must become more pious than Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and so forth. So remember, your husband is right to a certain extent that for a woman to speak in a melodious manner, all that flirting manner, that is haram and not permissible. Mm. But if you somebody phones and they say, I want to speak to your husband and so forth, and then you give it, so that is permissible, there's no problem with that. So remember that keep everything within its own limits and boundaries.
Mm. Subhanallah, subhanallah. 17 minutes after 11, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Hussein, let's go to Australia. This is Muallima. She says the sisters in Australia want to know, is it okay, of course, for the sisters to study to become a journalist or to become a reporter? Ustad, your view on this?
Definitely not permissible. What will happen is stories are breaking different towns and cities. You will have to travel there. You will have to go there. You will have to interact with so many strange men. You will have to travel without a mahram. So many haram issues will take place. And remember, therefore, before you choose your career, you need to look at all these type of practical issues. So imagine you go to a war zone because you're a reporter, you're a journalist, and so forth, and there so many things are happening, so definitely that would not be permissible, not acceptable from an Islamic perspective.
Ustad, is a brother, he says, anonymous brother, Mufti Sab, listening to The Bliss of Marriage every week with you and Mulana Arafat, Mulana Atia. And the brother says that, Mufti Sab, alhamdulillah has blessed me with wealth, so my wife, there's no need for her to work. I give her an allowance of 40,000 rand a month, but she still wants to work. Ustad, what should I do, Mufti Sab?
Obviously, you need to put your foot down and you don't allow her to work and tell her the Sharia says she don't have to work. You are the breadwinner. If for real you are giving her 40,000, then what is she doing with so much money and so forth? So you must remember, maybe she's running the household and the children, school fees, and Allah alone knows what else. So anyway, remember, it is for you. You are the man of the house, not the mouse or the mice. So you need to put your foot down and tell her that under no circumstances will you allow it, that she has to go and work and here and there and everything. Then they will have their own dress code, then they will have their own rules and regulations. She will be traveling, she'll be missing salat, so many issues will come into play. And the previous question regarding the question from Australia, what if you want to do a meaningful role? Mm-hmm. Then you learn about computers and all these type of things, and then you supply the people. Like we sit at home, and so many people send me information from different countries. Then I just forward it to our Merkaz Sahaba team, our news team, and our staff and so forth, so they can use it. Like now, Dr. Hafiz Mursi, Rahimahullah, a shaheed, is a martyr, remember that. So he passed away, and now so much information is coming. So remember, so we just send it to the relevant departments, and inshallah, in their programs, so they will, inshallah, then highlight it and so forth. So if you do that, so remember that you send it to your brother, you send it to your uncle, you send it to some family member, then they can send it forward to the various journalists. So all that you can do, there's no need for you to become a reporter in the technical sense of the term or a journalist in the technical sense of the term.
Ustad, we go to, this is Sister Nazira, mashallah, all the way from Boxburg. She says, Mufti Sab, I really truly love my beloved husband and I keep on telling him every day that I love him. But my husband does not show that love towards me, Mufti Sab. So in an argument, I told him that, you know, it's like an example that he's Layla and I'm Majnoon. And because of that, he felt offended. Now it's 2 days going that him and I were not speaking. He says because Layla was ugly and Majnoon was a person made in love with Layla. Ustad.
So anyway, remember that both of you are now overreacting and behaving like children. Marital life, remember, you will have ups and downs. So both of you, jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. So each one of you remember that in this case here, what you need to do is both of you, you'll need to understand that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala is teaching you, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You the husband, treat your wife with love and equity. Ameen. And you the wife, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You also have got rights for you. The husband also got rights. So both of you forgive one another and look forward. Not you going to go backward? You said this, you did that, you did that. So that will just bring about more animosity, hatred, disagreement. So both of you make this the starting point that, okay, we forgive one another. Let us see how we can cement the relationship and so forth. That's very good that you as the wife, you are telling your husband that you love him and so forth. But you need to also make sure that he also plays his role. So he doesn't seem to be a person, according to what you are saying, that he makes manifest his love and feeling for you. So sometime you leave a note there, sometime you leave a present, sometime you leave a gift, so things like that. So inshallah, that will jog his memory, and sometimes you seduce him also. So in a husband-wife relationship, all that is permissible, and not only permissible, it is advisable. Because you have to cement your relationship. So in that way, that forgive one another and move forward.
Ustad, Mozambique Maputo says that I would like to know if every marriage that breaks up is through the work of Shaitan, or is it just that some marriages are just not meant to be? And also, Mufti Sahab, does every divorce that takes place cause the arsh of Allah to shake? What about a marriage which was really so problematic and full of emotional, mental, and verbal abuse, Ustad?
Remember that in Arabic we have a law, and it's called Al-Asbabu La Tuzahim. For one thing, you can have many causes and many reasons. So yes, when a divorce is issued, Allah forbid, verbally or in writing, Ihtazza bihi arshu rahman, the arsh of Almighty Allah shakes. And secondly, remember it is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِ, the shaitan and his agents, that they are the ones who want to cause separation between husband and wife. That is their aim and objective. So that's the second issue. Third issue, so we will say, yes, the shaitan is also involved. Next one, you, the husband and wife, are also the cause of it. And the next one, remember, all was decreed and written already by Almighty Allah. But Almighty Allah is giving you a fair chance that you can even solve the problem, then solve the problem. But today we're not prepared to do that. You will see over flimsy issues, petty issues, so many a time the husband just issues the talaq and so forth. Therefore, when we get married, always remember the verses, the Imam, the Sheikh, the Maulana, Mufti Sahab, Qari Sahab, Hafiz Sahab read, all were related with taqwa and true piety and Allah consciousness. And that element, by and large, is missing in the ummah today. So when the taqwa is missing, so the divorce rate increases and spirals out of control. So that is the big problem we have.
Ustad, let's go to another sister, Anonymous. She says that, Mufti Sahab, I'm only married for 1.5 years. And Mufti Sahab, I want to know that, how do I show empathy or be a shoulder of support during this time, Ustad? No, it says, yes, my husband is going to a rough patch, a midlife crisis. How do I show empathy or be a shoulder of support during this time, Ustad?
Remember, it has many a time a couple are married 20, 25, 30 years, and they have 2, 3, 4 children, and then you find as though as the husband are drifting apart. So this you call the midlife crisis, you 40, 45, 50, and now you're just staying there because for the sake of staying. So first of all, to solve the problem, husband and wife, you need to have a heart-to-heart talk. You write down what are your likes and what are your dislikes, O wife. You husband, you write down what things, which things you like and which things you dislike. And then, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٍ, reconciliation is the best. For that reconciliation, Quran Kareem teaches us, وَأُحْذِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحُ, that both parties have to make compromises. So you can't say, be my way or catch the highway. So it won't happen like that. So both of you need to cement your relationship, enhance it. So through discussion and through dialogue. Second one, the things that are, you know, hurting your feelings. So all that, you highlight it and tell your husband, tell your wife that don't do this, because this here is going to cause more harm to the marriage. Third one, the children should be the glue, and that comes and makes the two of you remain together. Imagine that dead flowers of yours have to grow up, and now they are grown up by the single mother, single father, and it's a dysfunctional family. So how many many problems all that creates and makes. So therefore, let don't give opportunity to shaitan. Beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, give out charity. Read the Asma'ul Husna, 99 beautiful names of Allah daily, and see how much love will be coming, will come into your marriage and so forth. So that is the type of advices I will give you.
Ustad, brother Zakir here from Lanesia wants to know that when you and your spouse, they are in an argument, Muftisab, is there any rule that we should put or we should establish, or should I walk out first, or should Ustad G?
Yes, remember the biggest rule is that you, our husband, make sure in that rage, in that fury, anger, you don't utter the word talaq, whether jokingly, whether seriously, intentionally or what. You must control that tongue of yours. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. You have to speak to people in a beautiful manner. The Quran Kareem states, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Either you speak good things to people or keep quiet. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to wear a ring. He's a big imam, a genius. جِرْمُهُ صَغِيرٌ وَجُرْمُهُ كَبِيرٌ. The size of the tongue is small. The crime it commits is very, very big. So remember, brother, best thing for you, before you're going to make the matters worse and condition will deteriorate, rather you, the husband, walk out. And that is what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala taught us, that he and Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha had an argument. So he left the house and went to the masjid. So remember, that is what we need to do as well. Dad, go and ask Almighty Allah for forgiveness, and you ask Almighty Allah to enhance the marriage. So all these are measures we can take, that are positive measures.
Ustad Swaziland wants to know, respected Mufti Saab, I would just like to know, I work for my husband, I take care of his business, our children and home. I have little time for myself. He travels often and even goes on relaxing holidays by himself. I pray to Allah, why is he treating me like this, Mufti Saab? When he's angry, he hits me and verbally abuses me. I keep quiet and I say, it's my fault, Ustad.
Remember that what your husband is doing, he's treating you more as a maid than a wife. And he's just using you, and to say he's going for holiday just to relax, but he goes on his own. Oh, and in spite of what you are trying to do to make the marriage work, then he assaults you and hits you. Remember, all that is absolutely haram. You must go to the police and lay charges against him of assault. Because if you don't do that, or you go to your ulama and tell them that this person carries on like a big buzruk and a pious person when he's in front of you, but when he's here in the house, this is what he does. So remember, Islam never allows the wife to become the punching bag, and then the husband keeps on assaulting her and battering her and hitting her. That's absolutely, absolutely haram and unlawful, not permissible. So you, my sister, that you should understand that your husband is just trying to play mind games with you. He is in the wrong, but he wants to hit you, intimidate you, and you must say that you are the wrong one. So that is like, you know, how these politicians and police work in various countries. They torture the people and then they say that they have confessions from that people there. So that is the game he's playing with you. That verbally, mentally, physically, he is torturing you, hitting you, assaulting you, and end of the day you end up saying, yes, I am wrong, I am guilty. You are not guilty, you are the innocent party. Your husband is the guilty party, and you need to expose him, because this is going on repeatedly. So that is what Islam would teach you in these circumstances.
Ustad, let us go to Roshni. It's anonymous sister. She says, Mufti Saab, you come to Roshni, and we listen to Mufti Saab's programs, ladies' programs. And she's saying there are many, many sisters out there, Ustad, who just keep quiet, and they are in this situation. They just don't want to speak, Ustad. What do we do?
Remember that you, the ladies, you'll have your people own groups, and in that way there, that you should give them counseling, you should get the social worker involved, and give them counseling and so forth. In Islam, this can never ever be justified, that the husbands keep on hitting them and assaulting them, and they must just keep quiet. Nay, remember, that can never be acceptable. She, that lady, is the mazluma, the oppressed, and the husband husband is a big zalim. And when she cries and she tears, then remember Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom, fear the bad dua, the bad dua. Both you say bad dua, bad dua, anyone. So of the oppressed person, فَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ, that between her, that oppressed person, in this case the wife, and Almighty Allah, there is no curtain, no veil. So إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ سُرْأَةِ الْإِجَابَةِ, to show that very, very soon Almighty Allah will accept her du'as and your empire will crumble. And remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will honor her. So don't think we have the police, we have the context, we have the money, we can do what we feel like. So all this Allah ki lati be awaze. The stick of Almighty Allah does not make noise. And remember, you will be taken to task on the day of justice.
Allahu Akbar. I love your words of inspiring, Ustaz. Subhanallah. Ustaz, can a man revoke his talaq while wife in her last haid? This is anonymous, Ustaz.
When a husband gave his wife one divorce, one talaq with clear-cut explicit words, or he gave his wife two talaqs. So Almighty Allah teaches us Surah 2 and Surah Baqarah verses 227, 228, 229. So if it is one talaq or two divorces and clear-cut explicit words were used, then remember the husband can take his wife back after the first talaq or second talaq. During the iddat, whether she's pleased or not, you have the right to take her back during the iddat period, and you don't have to perform a fresh and new nikah. But remember that if this wife here, that you gave her three talaqs, then obviously you cannot reconcile with her. So therefore that we need to know how many talaqs you gave. So if you gave one or two talaq during the iddat, you reconcile, no need for a new nikah. But if you gave one or two talaq and the iddat expired, now you want to reconcile, so that's fine, it's permissible after one or two talaq, but a new and fresh nikah must be performed. And obviously the lady must be happy. So for future, he will only have one talaq left if he gave two. And if he gave one, then for future he'll have two talaqs left.
25 minutes to 12. We go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we get back, inshallah, yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
23 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Yes, 084-786-3132, 084-786-3132 to the international overseas countries, plus 2-784-786-3132. Ustaz, somebody says here that I am torn between my mother and wife. Just do not see eye to eye. They are both strongly opinionated and they keep dragging me into their squabbles. Mufti Saab, I don't want to take sides or get involved. What do I do, Ustaz? Your advice, please.
Obviously, brother, this is, you'll be torn between loyalties. One side is your mother, she'll be crying. One side is your wife, and maybe you have children as well. So that complicates all the issues further. What you need to do is have a meeting with your mother and tell her that whatever you can do during the daytime, you'll do for her. And as far as your wife goes, tell her family time is night time. So that is how you will fulfill her rights and conjugal rights and whatever else. And third one, tell them that they can, if they're living together, then tell them best thing you make separate kitchens or whatever. And in that way there, that their contact will be curtailed. Because once they have the same kitchen, that is where all the problems come and so forth. So look for practical solutions. And if they are living separate, your mummy is there alone one side and her house and your wife is there in her house. So don't impose upon your wife, she must go to your mother and so forth. So remember that whatever she's doing for your mother, she's doing a favor. And not that you keep on imposing, you must go there. And similarly, mother-in-law, that you also must keep a big heart, because you want to see your grandchildren all growing up with parents, not divorced and so forth. So both parties, remember the simple solution is, if the mother-in-law is going to treat the daughter-in-law like a daughter, and you, daughter-in-law, you also will be guilty. that for your own mother you have different laws, and for your mother-in-law you have different laws. So treat your mother-in-law like your mother, and then things will come right. And you, the husband or the son, depending on how you want to look at yourself, so you have to make dua and speak. You can't just be turning away a blind eye, and then this matter will explode. Remember, you have to speak to them individually and tell them that this is the solutions and these are the options that are practical, and inshallah, if all parties are sincere, then you can solve the problem.
Brother Luqman is asking, Ustad, how should we greet our spouses? How should we greet our spouses, Ustad?
Remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَأَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Must I not show you that action that if you carry it out, then remember it will generate mutual love. So they asked that, what must we do, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afshu salam abaynakum, make salam common amongst you. So husband, make salam to your wife. Wife, make salam towards you. Your house will become Dar as Salam. Only your bodies would not meet, but your hearts would meet. Once the hearts meet, there's unity of thought, and both of you going in the same direction. You will be husband and wife through thick and thin, in prosperity and adversity. And that is what marital life is all about. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. That how the garments and the clothing are like attached to your body. You will be attached to one another through thick and thin.
Ustaz, suppose the lady does not wear niqab, but wearing headscarf, loose fitting clothes, etc. But she is dropped off and picked up by her mahram from the masjid or ladies only ta'lim. Would this be permissible or not, Ustaz?
Remember that for ladies to have ta'aleem, already there's no need to go to the masjid. Remember, you go to the houses and so forth. If you're going to go to the masjid, the men are there, they can see you. Now they know where the parking is, and you are going to go off, you're going to climb in, all that. Create a lot of problem, all these type of things. Therefore, the ladies' ta'aleem should take place in the houses of people, and there the men are not there 90% of the time. And remember, it makes life much more easier. So therefore, we will not encourage the ladies ta'aleem in the masjid. We will encourage the ladies ta'aleem at home, and then she can go with the mahram. He picks her up and takes her. Obviously, that's a separate issue, that lady and niqab. Remember, that is wajib and compulsory. If the lady does not wear niqab, she is guilty of a major sin. Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 59, Almighty Allah speaks of this issue. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kulli azwajik, speak to your, or tell your honorable wives, wa banatik, your beloved daughters, wa nisa'il mu'mineen, and the believing men, our women, so our mother, daughter, sister, yudneena alayhinna min jalabi bihin, they must wear the jilbab. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was ra'isul mufassirin, one of the greatest commentators of the Quran Sharif, said this refers to covering the body, covering the face, everything. So therefore there is that. And if you want a wonderful article on this, our honorable Ustad Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, in his work Rawa'iul Bayan fi Ahkamil Quran, has written a wonderful academic article, Bid'atu Kashfil Waj, that it is not permissible for the women to expose their faces. That is the markaz and the headquarters of Jamal and beauty.
Somebody is saying, Ustad, regarding actual divorce statement and metaphors, a man has thoughts of divorce, so at times he says to himself, no divorce verbally. By saying this, does it affect the nikah, Ustaz?
No, remember, whenever the negative thoughts come, then you must read, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. When negative thoughts come regarding Almighty Allah, say, La ushriku bi rabbi ahada, La ushriku billahi shay'a. I don't ascribe, associate anybody, anything with Almighty Allah. When things come negative about your wife, your children, whatever, say, Quran Kareem teaches us, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغُونَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. So when the shaitan attacks you and gives you an injection, so say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. But remember, remember, when these type of thoughts come, read same time and don't allow it to settle in your mind, because that is what the shaitan wants. You waswisu fi sudurin nas min al jinnati wan nas. The waswasa and whisperings of shaitan, and this will come from human being and from jinn. So therefore, we must remember that the shaitan has got agents in human form and jinn form.
Somebody is saying, Ustad, my wife and I, this is anonymous, my wife and I are both students of deen. We have been using protection as both our parents don't want us to have kids now, Mufti Saab, only when we are done with studies. However, I don't know if it is the right thing to do. Please advise me, Ustad.
It's not the right thing to do. Remember that you, as the female, for you to use protection and what have you, contraceptives, or for the husband to use condom and what have you. Remember, you are married, and once you are married, then to use these type of things is not permissible. So according to you, now you've got 2 years, 3 years, 4 years left for your studies to graduate. So for the next 3-4 years, deliberately you're saying you will not have children, and your parents are also encouraging it. Why they're encouraging it? Because they worried about the expenses that maybe they will have to pay and so forth. So remember, for you, the lady, the wife, is not compulsory you must go and study. So you can sit at home and remember, bring up the children and so forth. That is much more superior for you compared to you, for you than going to study and so forth. So today there is, sometimes people get caught up with the list of priorities. They don't understand what is their priorities. Hazrat bin Nuri rahimahullah, Allama bin Nuri rahimahullah, when Darlum Newcastle, which is the first Darlum in South Africa, 1973, Maulana Qasim Sema rahimahullah used to tell us this incident many times. He said when Hazrat Allama bin Nuri came, he said even for the boys, the men who are going to study here, there is no need for Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif and all this hadith kitab. Mishkat inko parha kar farigh kar do, kiyamat bahut qareeb hai. Ke after Mishkat Sharif, let them go and teach the Ummah what they have learned, and kiyamat is coming, is very, very near. So imagine, these were the great, great people. But today you see that even the girls, they say, no, I want to study, 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 study. So therefore, I personally, I don't agree with this, that the girls must go and study for 5, 6, 7 years and so forth. You study 2 years, 3 years is sufficient, and remember, you got orientation, direction, and now you must be the wife, you must be the mother, and so forth. So that is what we are telling you. And to say you're going to postpone having children for another 3, 4, 5 years, so that is not permissible.
Ustad, I wronged my spouse. What is the best manner to apologize or to ask for forgiveness in a meaningful way, Ustad? Anonymous.
You can't ask your wife for forgiveness if you did wrong unless you tell her what wrong you did. You tell her, forgive me. But she'll ask you, why, what did you do? So that is where you have to be honest. Did you have an affair with another lady? Did you go to another person's wife? What you did? So you don't have to go into the details. You can just say, this is the wrong you did, and so forth. So that is how you ask for forgiveness. Not that you try and intimidate and blackmail the wife and will come make big, big eyes and so forth and say, forgive me. No. Forgiveness means that we show remorse, we show regret for our vices, our sins, at-tawbatu an-nadama. And the sign that we are sincere is this, we do not repeat it in future. That is what Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 66, verse number 8, Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. They turn to Almighty Allah Jalla wala in making tawbah, that is nasuha. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, what is tawbah and nasuha? He gave and illustrated the point via an example and said that when you have a cow or a she camel, now when you milk it, do you see the milk going back into the animal? He said, no. He said, that is the real tawbah. So each one of us needs to understand that when we are wrong, first we must admit we are wrong. Second, we must show that remorse and regret. And third, you don't expect the person just to forgive us, but we must know that tell the person the wrong we committed. You don't have to give all the details, but just say, this is what happened. So in that way there, Allah Ta'ala will bring both parties closer, provided that you are sincere.
Mufti Saab, listening to The Bliss of Marriage right now, I am not a romantic person, Mufti Saab.
My wife says I am boring. My wife says that I don't do anything. How do I be romantic? Although it's not my thing. Please guide me, Mufti Saab.
Yes, you have to become romantic, my brother. You must remember. See, I give you 2-3 tips. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now imagine this is more than 1400 years ago. And for everything I'm going to give you the reference. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that before you go and fulfill your conjugal rights with your wife, so send a Rasul to her. Rasul has many meanings. One is messenger, one is angel, one is this, what I'm going to tell you. So Sahaba asked, what do you mean? Mar Rasulu ya Rasulullah. What do you mean we must send a message to her? So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Qublatu wal-Kalam. So you have to kiss her, you have to speak to her, you have to excite her, and you have to encourage her. So all this foreplay, what today is they call, the hadith in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur. So imagine more than 1400 years ago, all this we were taught by the master, Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's happening is, your marriage becomes a boring messy marriage, and now the wife just hangs in there because maybe of children. So you have to create that spark in your marriage, my brother. Don't say, I'm negative, I'm not a romantic person. No, you have to hold the hand, you have to kiss her, you have to touch her, all that. Not in front of the children, obviously, but when you alone. So in that way there, then you're going on the right track. You know, today, if you look at today's hadith that I sent out, Nasiha today's, so you will find Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you mean if we go to our wives and fulfill our lust and desire, walana ajrun, we will get reward? See the answer Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. If you do the same action in a haram manner, you go to girlfriend, you go to somewhere else, another lady or whatever, and you're not married to her, so alayka wizrun, is it not a major sin? They said, yes. So he said, if that is a sin and you do it in a halal manner, so remember that will be ibadat and that will be hasanat and good deeds. So open Mishkat Sharif, open Mustan Ahmad, various compilations, you will find it. So my brother, what you need to do is your starting point you need to change and say that I will become the romantic person. Don't start with a negative, I'm not a romantic person. So you need to joke with your wife, you need to touch her, you need to kiss her, you need to engage her in conversation and all these type of things. Marriage is not bedroom and bathroom and finish. No, it is a partnership. Buy a gift for her when she least expect it. Give her some money when she doesn't ask for it. Make salam to her. Tell her, today, honey, we're going for a drive or we're going to a holiday or something. So you cement your relationship like that, brother.
Subhanallah, bro. Subhanallah, Ustad. Somebody says, Mubtab, you're a very romantic person. MashaAllah.
We're old timers.
Mufti, a concerned mother. We've got about 6 minutes left. Maybe Ustad can give some advice to this mother here. She says, Mufti Saab, my daughter's name is Yumna, and she is adamant she wants to get married to this boy who is a Christian boy. His name is Sean, but he wants to become a Muslim. But this has broken the family apart. Mufti Saab, what do I do? And she's adamant she wants to get married, Ustad. Do I go ahead with it or not, Mufti Saab?
Remember, there are three advices we will give. One to Yumna. Yumna, you are now in a predicament. You say you want to marry this person. Yeah, he's a Christian. So you need to ask yourself that you want to marry him. But remember that if your parents are not going to give blessings, then your marriage will not be even valid. So remember that that is what the Quran and Hadith is going to teach us. So you need to understand that first point. So my first message to you, Sister Yumna, don't let your youth and your passion and desires and all that get the better of you. Everything in life is replaceable. Your parents are not replaceable. Remember that. So make sure that you take the du'as of your parents. Second one, you, the parents, you need to ask yourself, how come your daughter met this person and all these type of things? Were they in school together, university, college together? Were they on the internet and chatting and so forth? So sometimes we give so much freedom to our children and so forth. So you need to tell Yumna that whether, and be honest with her, whether you will give her the blessings or not, even if he, Sean, that's the name you mentioned, will embrace Islam or not. And to Sean, my message will be to him that Sean, you need to be sincere that if you embrace Islam, whether Yumna marries you or not, you embrace Islam for the love of Allah, for the love of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message of Islam and the love of Islam, then well and good. But if your intention is only for marriage of convenience, you're telling her, yes, you will marry her, but you will become Muslim and so forth. We have known so many examples that after they get married and so forth, now they use, I'm not saying you, I'm speaking generally, that they use the wife and so forth, they get tired and then they leave Islam and so forth. So that is where you come in. So this is my advice to all three groups of you. To you, Yumna, do that which will take the blessings of your parents. You, the parents, be honest with Yumna whether you're happy or not. And you, Sean, you need to ask yourself what is your real motive in embracing Islam. So that is my advice to all three parties.
4 minutes to 12 o'clock, Ustad. One more question, inshallah. Somebody saying, Ya Mufti Saab, is realizing you do not love your wife a valid reason for issuing a talaq, Ustad?
Remember that last week in the khutbah from Makkah Mukarrama, Red Sheikh Mahir Al-Mu'ayqili mentioned a very beautiful episode and incident. He says this couple came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and they had conflict and tension. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked her, the lady, he's Amirul Mu'mineen, he's the ruler, what is the problem in your marriage? She says, the lady, the wife, I no more love him. So he, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, that is not the answer you should have given. So she asked Sayyidina Umar, what do you want? I must lie and speak lies? See the genius, Sayyidina Umar. He said, no, I didn't say you must speak lies. You must say this, that the love, it decreased, but your mercy for him is still there, the compassion is still there. Now you go to Quran Sharif and see, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that Almighty Allah created this institution of marriage where male will get married to female. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيَا, first thing you get sukoon, you get peace, you get tranquility, you embrace your wife, the wife embrace the husband. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً, then the love comes. So love comes after the marriage, not before, like the satanic Western system. So, and then comes the mercy. So now you married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So a time will come when the love might decrease, but the mercy will increase. So remember, that is what Islam is teaching. So you must not get caught up in the trap of the shaitan. Remember that the marriage will survive with love and with mercy and compassion. That is what the Quran Sharif is teaching us. Okay, our time is almost up. Our next few programs are as follows. 12 to 1, inshallah, Brother Alfas Nkosi, with the news and the current affairs. 1 o'clock, inshallah, Zohar Azan, then Tilawat of Quran. One, then we find that at 5 past, at Zohar Azan will go five to 1 o'clock. Then 5 past 1 to half past 1 will be the tafsir, inshallah. And we will continue with the tafsir, 5 past 1 to half past 1, and that is Surah Al-Qalam. Then half past 1 to 2, remember, it will be the Surah Ra'ad, that is from our archives, so remember that. Then 2 to 4, inshallah, Sheikh Zakaria, ma'allah, with the mercy of Almighty Allah. 4 o'clock, inshallah, will be Adhan, and thereafter we go to our Durban studio, and Moana Khalid Yaqub will be in your company from 5 past 4, 7 minutes past 4, right up to Maghrib time, Durban time. Thereafter that we will go for our surahs and so forth after Maghrib, and then we have from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, 6 to half past 6, the good death on Iman by Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimahullah, and then 6:30 to 7, the repeat of today's tafsir of Surah Qalam, the tafsir I'll do inshallah, and then 7 to 8, business matters with Brother Al-Amin Templeton. Then remember 8 to 9 will be Technology Watch with Maulana Bilal Katrada, inshallah, that's 8 to 9. And then 9 to 11, inshallah, after the Isha Adhan will be the Q&A repeat of Sunday. So wonderful lineup for you from now right till 11 o'clock at night. May all Almighty Allah accept us all. May Almighty Allah give love, compassion to all those who are married and those who are not married. Allah Ta'ala give you pious spouses and children. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Durban, Ustad, waiting for you tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah, from tomorrow, Durban, our program starts tomorrow night, inshallah, in Tonga, the Railway Street Masjid, inshallah, after Isha. Then on Thursday between 11 and 12 for the females only, the hadith lesson, inshallah, there the Ansar, Musalla, Jamaat Khana. And then on Thursday night after Isha in the Stenger Jummah Masjid, Friday Jummah in the Glennon Road Sufi Masjid, and then Friday night, inshallah, in Port Shepstone in Elberswell, and then Saturday the Hajj Seminar, and after Maghrib Saturday, inshallah, at the Avondale Musalla. So that's our programs. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See, Sister Sharifa says, awesome show. Sister Nazreen says, Mufti Sab, the answer you gave regarding Yumna and Sean, spot on. We're going to love you and leave you on this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning, the bliss of marriage, part one. See you tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safinatu Ilal Jannah.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.